Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Bob Fisher back on the show. Bob is a certified financial planner. He is one of our investment experts. He's the author of The Naked Portfolio Manager, Why Rules Trump Reason on Wall Street. And we're going to talk a little bit about those things and also how to blend your investment activity, not just in your small business, but also outside of your small business. And as I say, he's our good friend, Bob Fisher. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. One of the things, Bob, that I know you want to talk about today is mutual funds and whether they're a good deal or not and how you should think about the fees that you pay for all those. But one of the dirty little secrets among small business owners, Bob, is that many, many, many of us, probably most of us, invest every nickel we can get in our hands on back into our businesses. And many, many, many small business owners don't have enough critical mass to actually have a true retirement plan like an employee would have. And I'm sure you've seen this as you've worked with folks, because there's always some place to put the money in our businesses, and we believe, and sometimes rightly and sometimes wrongly, we believe that the business is our retirement. What do you think?
Well, absolutely the business can be the retirement, but I think it's absolutely critical to have investments outside of the business. You know, a small business is a very undiversified asset. And if all your money is in that business and you're relying on that to retire on, you have to make sure, one, you can sell that business and get the value out of it. And that's sometimes difficult in a small business.
Yeah. No, that's the exactly right. And so, as I say, that's one of the dirty little secrets, though, that even you know, businesses that look to be successful, what happens, Bob, is that as we start the business, as we get it off the ground, as we're bootstrapping it many times, you know, we have to put every nickel into it. Sometimes we don't even pay ourselves. We don't pay ourselves enough because we're funding the business. And the business is a hungry beast. And then as we get a little bit bigger and we grow our business, we've gotten used to doing that. We haven't established any kind of an investment system, any kind of a parallel universe retirement system, so to speak, like a 401k or something like that. We haven't done that, so there's no mechanism there to start putting the money over there. And then the business grows. Now we're more successful. Now it looks like we're going to make it. But there's always places to put the money in the business. We've got a perfectly efficient method of sucking money out of us. Mm-hmm. It's very efficient doing that, but we don't have another parallel universe system. And so what do you think about that?
Well, I had an uncle that always used to say the best place to invest is in your own business. And that is true up to a certain point. And then after a certain point, I just think it's critical as a discipline for people to say, okay, I am going to take X percentage of my profits, and I'm going to invest them away from my business, and I'm going to put that away in a retirement plan for me and my family, because otherwise, I don't think you own the business. I think the business owns you.
Well, you're exactly right, Bob, and that's exactly what happens. And so what I want to do is I want you to take us through how we can get this little, this other parallel universe, get a little bit of a leak, a little bit of a of an outlet in our financial critical mass, alternative to the business, so we can at least start putting money over there, even if it's only, heck, even if it's only $25 a month. I mean, who knows? But you've got to start the process somewhere, don't you?
Well, I absolutely agree, Jim. And you know, everybody can put money into an IRA. And if you're a small business owner and you don't have a retirement plan for your company and your employees, then you can put money into an IRA,
right,
get a tax deduction for it. I mean, unless your spouse is, has a retirement plan.
Right.
And you also can put money away for your spouse and get a tax deduction for that. And that's if you make $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, oh, I make too much money, I can't put money into an IRA. Well, that's only
Bob, hold on to that thought, Bob. I've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come right back. Good stuff here with Bob Fisher, the author of The Naked Portfolio Manager. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. You got 5 seconds, 15 minutes on any topic under the Small Business Sun. Articles, archives, Brain Trust members, newsletter. You can please subscribe to that when you get there. I think you'll like that. We'll send that to you once a week on Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Lots of good stuff there. And don't forget our poll question, which is on the homepage, and it's really easy. All you got to do is go to smallbusinessadvocate.com and click on the answer to the poll question. This week's poll question is on taxes. Should the government extend the tax cuts that are about to expire, or should they allow them to lapse? And why? And we give you reasons why. And when you click your answer, you'll see you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. So we'd love to have your thoughts on that. Check it out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Bob Fisher. Robert J. Fisher, Certified Financial Planner, is the title on the Naked Portfolio Manager, his outstanding book, which I recommend to you. Bob, that's available wherever books are sold, isn't it?
Yes, wherever books are sold. It's also available at the website for an autographed copy, www.nakedportfoliomanager.com.
So check it out. Bob, we're talking about small business owners getting started with their what I'm calling the parallel universe investing, an alternative universe to your own business. And I know you mentioned the IRA, and that is a good thing, but that's typically something you fund once a year. I'm trying to figure out how to help small business owners get something where it becomes a monthly thing. Every month they put, you know, even, again, I know it sounds silly, but even if it's just $25 a month, just get that practice started. What do you think?
Well, Jim, I think you can put $25 a month into an IRA and get a tax deduction, or do it into a Roth IRA and get that money growing completely tax-free.
If you're younger, that's primarily for younger folks that are under 50 probably, right?
No, I think anybody can do
a Roth IRA. You think a Roth IRA is good for older people too?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, if you're 60 years old and you figure you're going to retire in 6 years, you put the money into the Roth.
Right. Well, remind the audience the difference between a Roth and a regular.
Well, with a regular IRA, when you put the money in there, you get a tax deduction. And of course, understand, assuming you're eligible, you meet the eligibility requirements, you get a tax deduction. If you're eligible to put money into a Roth IRA, then what happens is, you don't get a current tax deduction, but when you take the money out, you pay no taxes at all on the gains.
And which is the reverse of a regular, where you get a tax deduction in the beginning and you're taxed on the distribution.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and typically at a lower rate. Okay, so that's IRAs. But what about establishing a 401k for your company? Or are there also a lot of others, right? SEP plans, that kind of thing?
Well, there's SEP plans where what happens is all the money that goes in for the employees is put in by the business owner. Now SEP plans are great when you have very few employees or no employees, and they can be a way to put away substantially more money than you can with an IRA and get the tax deduction for it. Now, a 401k is typically a plan where the employees put some of their own money into the plan and take some of the responsibility,
right,
saving for retirement themselves.
Right. Now, talk to us about how mutual funds fit into all this.
Well,
do you recommend mutual funds?
Jim, I'm not a big fan of mutual funds. Excuse me. I'll tell you why. $36 billion. $36 billion is what investors paid in mutual fund fees just in domestic equity funds last year. And to put that in perspective, if you stacked $100 bills as high as the Washington Monument,
mm-hmm,
you would need 216 stacks to equal to equal $36 billion.
Wow.
I mean, Jim, some mutual fund managers make $50 million a year.
Wow, just a manager.
Just a manager. And do you know what the average return for investors in mutual funds has been over the past 20 years in domestic equity funds? 3.17%. And
wow,
that's before taxes.
Wow.
That's before taxes.
That's terrible. But there are a bunch of them out there. I mean, when you're averaging like that, Bob, aren't you being unfair to the top 25% who do a good job, which we could choose?
No, actually, I don't think I'm being unfair.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. Fortune magazine put Ken Huebner on their cover, talked to him about as America's hottest investor.
Yeah.
He had an 80% return in 2007.
Right.
In 2008, he lost 48%. And even though the Wall Street Journal said his return for the last 10 years has been 18% a year, but his average investor lost money.
Wow.
And that's because people tend to throw all their money in at the peak, and they pull it out at the bottom.
Right. So what do you recommend? What is the thing we should be putting our money in our IRAs or our 401ks?
Well, I think what we need to do is have a rule set for determining how to make our investment decisions. And we should not be listening to Fortune magazine.
Right.
We should not be listening
CNBC.
To that. What we should do is say, this is my rule set, and this is how mathematically I can guarantee myself that more money will go into the market when stock prices are lower, and I can mathematically guarantee that money will come out when stock prices
are lower. And that's the essence of your naked portfolio management system.
That's the essence.
Yeah. So we need to find a financial planner who can do that for us in our world, in our area, right?
Well, you can find a financial planner that does that, or you can read the book.
Read the book and do it yourself.
Follow the rules.
The Naked Portfolio Manager. He says it's easy, folks, and I think he's right. Tintel, we come back. I'm going to ask, are we becoming a nation of traders instead of investors? Stay with us. Just like all. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Having a great visit with Robert J. Fisher. He's a certified financial planner. He's the author of The Naked Portfolio Manager. Put a .com on the end of that, right, Bob? NakedPortfolioManager.com. Find his website. Find the book anywhere. Books are sold as well as on his website. Bob, for generations in America, there was a good practice by regular folk of what's called buy and hold. Mm-hmm. You buy a stock in 1970, and in 1980 it's worth more than it was. You got a good return. We've all heard the examples of, you know, over history, the Dow Jones averages outperformed all these other investments, real estate, blah blah blah. Well, they can't say that anymore. For the last 20 years, buy and hold has been a bust, hasn't it? And is it because we've become a nation of traders? And I say we've become a nation. I'm talking about all the magazines, the television programs, all the pressure that folks who invest money have is all in about trading. I need to get in, I need to get out. What do you think?
Well, Wall Street's message has been for the ages, listen to our experts, listen to our experts. I mean, all I have to do is say when E.F. Hutton talks and all your listeners are sitting there thinking, people listen. Because and that commercial hasn't been on for almost
20 years.
About 27 years. But that's in people's minds. So Wall Street has this message, listen to me and you'll do great. Listen to me and you'll do great. Well, we can look at the Dalbar data. 3.17% before taxes over the last 20 years is not great.
Yeah.
It's lousy.
That is lousy.
And, I mean, I'm angry with the mutual fund industry because I think they need to do much more to educate investors.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be creating products that don't allow investors to shoot themselves in the foot.
Right.
And they're doing that because of all these messages coming out from Wall Street. So listen to our experts, listen to our experts.
But I'll tell you something, Bob. My attitude is, right now, I don't have time to outpace or outthink. I don't have the brain power to outthink these guys on Wall Street. And so it makes me want to invest more in real estate because I understand real estate.
Well,
instead of in equities. What do you think?
Jim, I think you're right.
I don't think I'm alone in this.
Jim, you can't outthink the Wall Street experts, and I can't outthink the Wall Street experts.
And I can't outflash trade them either.
But we can outrule them.
Yeah.
We can outrule them. And if we have a rule set that we follow in a disciplined fashion, then we won't make emotional errors, and we won't make the cognitive thinking errors that are so common.
And that's the point you make with your naked portfolio management strategy, is you're saying that if you establish your own rules and stick with those and then check your portfolio every month or every quarter in some cases, you can actually make it work for you without paying a bunch of big fees and without having to get caught up in the trading cycle.
That you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the book tells you how to do it. And if you've got your rule set, so when Time Magazine on March 9th comes out at the absolute bottom of the market with a cover that says holding on for dear life and they've got two hands hanging onto a frayed rope and all these negative stories, well, you're not going to abandon your investment strategy. You're going to say, hey, these are the rules. These are the rules that I selected based on my reading of the book and my reading of the resources, and this is what I'm going to do.
You know, Bob, a reason why I know that we're onto something here, what you're onto something, and what we're talking about is valid, is because in 2007, before the crash, before the recession, there was a $100 billion bonus pool paid out on Wall Street. We had 2008, everything went to St. Louis in a handbasket, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then in 2009, after all the bailouts, the bonus pool for Wall Street was back to $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's wrong with that picture? The rest of us are hurting. The rest of us are you know, many people have failed. People have lost their homes. There's no telling what kind of havoc has been wreaked on families. And yet, Wall Street's back to where they were. They missed 1 year. That's it.
Well, Jim, I don't think we should be sending money to these fat cat fund managers that are some of them. I mean, Mario Gabelli made over $70 million in 1 year. You know, 2008 was a bad year for everybody. It was a bad year for Mario. He only made $50 million.
Wow, that's amazing. Folks, read the book, The Naked Portfolio Manager. I think Bob's onto something. Robert J. Fisher is the author. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Hope you come back again real soon. Bob Fisher, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. He's opening my eyes, I'll tell you that. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.